Radio.
World Congress of Families, responding to critics. An interview with local organiser Babette Francis. So thank you for joining me, Babette. I first of all wanted to ask you about what the World Congress of Families is exactly.
It was established sometime in the 90s. I'm not sure of the precise date. And it just celebrates what we all know of as the natural family. That's father, mother, and they're raising their children, and with extended family relationships with grandparents and siblings and cousins. Just the natural blood relationships, intergenerational relationships, and also by adoption.
Okay. And what has been your experience really with setting up the Congress this year? I mean, I believe that there has been a number of issues that's had to be moved from Moscow. It's currently in the media quite frequently for various reasons. But what has been your experience thus far?
Well, it's been quite an interesting experience. I've never experienced anything like this before, because Endeavour Forum has been running meetings every quarter with very similar speakers, with some of the same speakers. We had Dr. Angela Lanfranchi, for example, the expert on abortion and breast cancer. We had a tour here some years ago, and we've had Professor Joel Brind, who was the co-founder of the Breast Cancer Prevention Institute. He does the epidemiological studies on abortion and breast cancer, and it didn't cause anything of this furor. For some reason, we seem to have touched a raw nerve here. I think it's because a number of studies have come out of Asia recently, from China, a huge meta-analysis by Huang et al., and also studies from India, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Turkey, Iran, and I think Kazakhstan, all showing some of them showing quite a strong link between induced abortion and breast cancer. But it's also been complicated by something quite out of our control, which is the controversy between, not controversy, it's sort of the small war that's going on between Russia and the Ukraine. And we're not in any way involved in that, but because the World Congress of Families, Larry Jacobs, expressed some praise for the Russian legislation which forbade homosexual propaganda to minors. Somehow we've got lumbered with all the policies that Putin is espousing. Now, that's as absurd as blaming, say, the family association in Australia for Tony Abbott's policies on refugees or boat people or Aborigines. You know, the family organizations have very little control about what their governments do on those sorts of issues. And it's quite unjust to link the World Congress of Family support for pro-life and pro-family legislation in the Russian parliament with their foreign affairs. And that's what's happened. It was very unfortunate that at the same time as I'm trying to organize this, MH17 was shot down, allegedly with a missile from supplied by Russia. I don't know if that's been proved, but it seems likely. And, you know, it's all sort of mixed up with our support for pro-life and pro-family policies enunciated by the Russian parliament. They're two completely different issues.
Now, I wanted to also give you the opportunity to respond to a number of criticisms that have been sort of floating around in the media, particularly beginning with Mia Friedman earlier this month on her blog, web magazine, Mamma Mia, but also sort of within the last week, within both the Fairfax and News Limited websites. Now, the first one that I wanted to bring up was a motion that was rather erroneously said was passed yesterday in Parliament. However, motions are a little bit more complicated than being passed by the Senate, but nonetheless, this was in Parliament yesterday. And it said, and I'll quote from it, "The World Congress of Families is responsible for spreading homophobic and sexist prejudices around the world." Now, this was introduced by Senator Waters, a Greens member of the Federal Senate. Would you like to respond to specifically that notion that the World Congress of Families is spreading, quote, homophobic attitudes?
That's quite unjust. And actually, in relation to our own Congress, the program tomorrow, homosexuality is not even a topic. You know, so I really don't see what the relevance is, but let's take past statements by the World Congress of Families. I get their newsletters and all their publications, and I haven't seen any homophobic comments. To clarify the issues, the main monotheistic religions, Catholicism, Islam, and Orthodox Judaism, all regard the practical expression of homosexuality, for example, sodomy, as a sin. So if the whoever senator wants to accuse us of being homophobic, they should first tackle the leaders of the main religions, because it's there the condemnation of the physical expression of homosexuality as a sin. And by the way, it's the same for heterosexual activity outside of marriage. That's also regarded as a sin. So if you're saying we're homophobic because we regard that as a sin, then we would also say that we're heterophobic, or whatever the expression is, because we would regard adultery as fornication between heterosexuals as a sin. So, you know, they're confusing what is people regard as moral with what they perceive as homophobia. Practicing Catholics would regard all sexual expression outside of marriage as sinful, and the same thing applies to homosexual practices. But as far as homosexual orientation goes, the Catholic Church is full of compassion for those who have a homosexual orientation, and in fact there have been organizations established called Courage and Encourage, which try to help these people with a homosexual orientation to lead chaste lives, to lead virtuous lives. Just to say that this is homophobia is quite wrong. It would be the same if someone was addicted to sexual activity, or was a prostitute, or addicted to going to prostitutes. The church would try to help them out of what it would regard as a sinful lifestyle. So really, those who accuse the World Congress or us of being homophobic have first got to deal with the concept of sin and what they regard as a sin, and or they might not regard as a sin, but other people would regard as a sin. You know, for some of the greenies, cutting down a tree is sinful, or eating eating lamb chops is sinful. Other people wouldn't regard that as sinful. So, you know, to say that if I accuse them of, you know, lamb homophobia or something like that would be ridiculous. So I think those are the issues that need to be clarified. But in any case, our conference is not even dealing with the issue of homosexuality. But there is another issue I want to raise, and this is concerned with the Russian situation. One of the things the Russian government has objected to is the public propaganda on homosexuality for children, for example, homosexual parades. And I've seen some of those parades on TV in the United States, and they're very offensive. They have men who are naked from the waist down parading in the streets of New York and seen by young children. Now, if a heterosexual man walked down the street naked from the waist down, he'd be promptly arrested. You know, you can't behave like that if you're heterosexual, unless you go to a nude beach or some place that's licensed for that sort of behavior. Why are homosexual parades allowed to display nudity in public? And to add offense to this, they call themselves the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, and they simulate very lewd acts in these homosexual parades. And the Russian parliament has banned that because children are in the streets, and they regard that as propaganda, or as not suitable for children. And for that, they've been condemned. That's not homophobia. That's just expecting men to dress decently and to behave decently.
Now, for the second response that I would want to get from you, that would be in an article in The Age today. A person from, I believe she's the head of the Council of Single Mothers and Their Children, Kerry Davies, said, I quote this again from the article, this is concerning the World Congress of Families, "We aren't talking about 1950s conservative stuff. We're going back hundreds of years to absolutely disgusting, terrifying oppression of half the population." Now, I'm presuming what she means by half the population is women. Do you want to comment on the idea that the World Congress of Families is oppressing women?
I think that's absurd. For example, I'm a woman. You know, I've heard some statements from feminists that women who are pro-life or pro-marriage and who want to be mothers who stay at home and look after their children, babies, toddlers, rather than put them in childcare centres, that we're not really women. I mean, this is absurd. I'm not quite sure why the single mother and her child have got into this debate, because Larry Jacobs, the managing director of the World Congress of Families, his mother was a single mother. So, you know, he's most sympathetic to their plight, and we all are. What is an issue that needs to be addressed on an economic basis is, if the proportion of single mothers in a community keeps on increasing, where is the welfare going to come from to support them? This is an economic issue, quite apart from a moral issue. I'm not saying that single mothers and their children should not be supported, but if you don't get the fathers and mothers working together, then they become part of the welfare system, which is not good for anybody. It's not good for the mothers, the children, or the taxpayer. And that's something that the left doesn't seem to address at all. It's all very well to glorify single mothers and say they're doing a wonderful job, and I'm sure many of them are heroic and are doing a wonderful job. But a single parent can never be as good as two parents. It's like saying a one-legged man is just as good as a two-legged man. It's not. And you need two parents who care about each other and care about their children to successfully raise a family without, you know, endless difficulties. Single mothers do a good job under difficult circumstances, but we don't want to make life difficult for everybody. We need to get the other missing parent into the equation.
Just to clarify there, because I can already see a potential response to that, and that is, I'm presuming you're not suggesting that women should stay in violent relationships with men.
Of course not. Violent relationships are a criminal offence, and the criminal should be dealt with by the law. And of course, the mother shouldn't stay in that if they're in danger or subjected to physical violence. And to clarify that, and I also think sometimes they ought to move out or seek redress sooner rather than later. Sometimes women put up with months of abuse, and only when it becomes so bad that their jaw is broken and they have to go to hospital or something like that they finally seek help. A lot of them put up with it for too long, whereas if they maybe addressed it in its early stages, the offender could be dealt with and helped to control his violence.
From the same article within The Age this morning, there's a quote from Debbie Brennan, who has had a number of quotes within the media this week. She is the director of the socialist feminist organization Radical Women. And she says, and I quote again, "The violence that ever comes from the other side." Presumably she means the right wing, which she identifies the World Congress of Families with. I quote again, "We do have to take into account that the World Congress of Families and the far right generally are violent people."
Yes, I think that's utterly ridiculous to say that the, first of all, I don't agree with the term far right. It's very interesting. There was a very interesting article in The Australian by Gerard Henderson the other day when he showed that during World War II, where Stalin was regarded as far left and Hitler as far right, in fact they were both socialists and, you know, government controlled everything, and they in fact met in the middle. They were like two peas in a pod. So this division of right and left is quite absurd. But anyway, to address the specific issue of being far right, I don't agree that we or the World Congress are far right. I would say we were conservative in the sense that we want to preserve worthwhile family values. But the other interesting thing is that there is far more violence in irregular sexual situations where couples are cohabiting, or there's someone who is not the father of the children living with the mother, she has serial boyfriends. There's far more violence in those situations than when you have a married couple who are raising their own children. And there's a lot of family studies on this, and I haven't got them at the tips of my fingerprints because I can't name the studies, but the one who's published quite extensively on that is Bill Muhlenberg. And the other one was Bettina Arndt. She was in The Australian just a few days ago, and she said that the left doesn't like to acknowledge it, but actually children and their mothers do much better in situations where the couple are married and raising their children together. There was a full-page article in The Australian. You know, send that to Debbie Brennan.
Just to clarify there, I think the accusation was specifically at the World Congress of Families, that the World Congress of Families are violent.
Of course they're not violent. I mean, that's libelous and defamatory. Of course they're not violent. We abhor violence even to the unborn child in the womb. Why on earth would we be violent? It's not in our nature. We argue things on a academic or professional or moral basis. We argue and debate and write. We don't indulge in physical fisticuffs. It's the other side, actually, who are promoting violence in the present situation. They threaten to blockade the entrance to anywhere where we have our World Congress event. That's violence, and to make it impossible to have us anywhere, they've threatened the owners of any reception center that if they hold our event, they will damage their business, and not just at the present time, but in the future, that any wedding reception that's held there will be, hassled, and they'll attack them. It's the other side that are indulging in violence. You can look at last year's March for the Babies in Melbourne. We got permission for the march, and we were just peacefully marching and singing songs, pro-life songs, and marching along the streets, and they came and assaulted two members of parliament, the international speaker, several elderly ladies. One of them was knocked down. A woman with a baby in a pram was threatened. It's they who are indulging in actual physical opposition to what we do. We've never been accused or convicted or seen or photographed or anything being violent towards anybody.
Hmm. Well, that's all I wanted to get from you today. Thank you very much, Bevette, for your time and for your responses. I think it has been very important to kind of get that voice out there, because I think it's really been a bit of a one-way street in the media for the past month.
Thank you very much, Luke. I'd just like to add one more sentence, if you can squeeze it in somewhere. The World Congress of Families have been going for around 18 years, and Endeavour Forum has been going for 35 years, and 36, I think, close to. And we've never been accused or convicted of any sort of violent activity. So this accusation of Debbie Brennan is quite libelous and defamatory. We're very peaceful. We relish intellectual debate, academic debate, and being violent is just not in our nature. We're a group of women. We probably come off second best dealing with in a violent situation. So just from a common sense point of view, we'd never attempt to be violent. We use our brains, not our fists.
We hope that you continue to use your brains and use your efforts in this way. And we hope that the World Congress of Families, wherever that may be, I'm not going to ask you where it is because I don't want to give anyone any information on that. But nonetheless, I hope that it all goes well, and I pray that everything may be successful.
Thank you very much, Luke. Thank you so much for your good wishes.
That was an interview with Bevette Francis. For more interviews, talks, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.